Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Shure Foundation Baptist Church. If you'd find a seat and find a hymnal, we're going to begin with a hymn, 160, Crown Him with Many Crowns, 160 in the red or the green. Join with me on the first.
Crown him with many crowns, fold them upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drones, the music bold its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee. Matchless King through all eternity. Crown him the Lord of love. Behold his hands and side. Rich wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. No angel in the sky fully bear that sight, but downward bends his wandering eye at mystery so bright. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave, who rose victorious to the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown him the Lord of heaven, one with the Father known, one with the Spirit through him given from yonder glorious throne. To thee be endless praise, for thou for us hast died. Be thou, O Lord, through endless days adored and magnified.
Amen. And Brother Alex, can you open us with a prayer? Amen. Next hymn is 209, Sunshine in the Soul. Sing it like you're happy to be in church. 209 in the red or green.
There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than glows in any earthly skies. For Jesus is my light. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments flow. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in the soul. There's music in my soul today, a carol to the King. And Jesus listening can hear the songs I cannot sing. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in the soul. There's springtime in my soul today, for when the Lord is near, the dove of peace sings in my heart, the flowers of grace appear. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in the soul. There's gladness in my soul today, and hope and praise and love, for blessings which he gives me now, for joys laid up above. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in the soul.
Amen. Good singing. At this time, we would normally have the announcements. It might be a second. And now we'll have the announcements.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Shore Foundation Baptist Church. Let's take our bulletins and go through some announcements. Need a bulletin? Just lift up your hand nice and high, and one of the ushers will bring you a bulletin. Anybody need one? All right over there. Anybody else? Don't be shy. Unless you're a kid, you get none. All right. On our front cover, we have our verse of the week. It says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." 1 Corinthians 11:26. Great scripture there. We are partaking of the Lord's Supper today at the 3:30 p.m. service. On our inside page, we have our service times, 10:30 a.m. for our Sunday morning service, Sunday evening service, 3:30 p.m. Thursday Bible study, 6:30 p.m. We'll be in 1 Chronicles chapter 27. And like I said, tonight we're going to be in, we're not doing a sermon. We never do a sermon on the Lord's Supper. We just partake of the Lord's Supper, and we do that as a church family, and we partake together. And so we'll go through the instructions. We'll have a song service. We'll do a song. We'll have a prayer. And then two more songs. And I'm just going to come up and lead us through all the passages and do it as close to possible as Jesus did it on the night that he did it with his disciples. And we'll pass out the bread and the juice, and we all partake together. So that's a special service that we do one time per year. And we do it on Sunday night, usually the week before Easter. So today is Palm Sunday, and I realize that Jesus didn't die on Palm Sunday, but we try to do it when we have most of the people here on a day where we can. Thursday night's pretty tough for traffic, and people usually aren't going to drive 2 or 3 hours. Some people do drive that far to get to church, but on Thursdays it'd be a little difficult. So, you know, we're in the New Testament. We're not held to some strict guidelines as far as what day, what time we do it and all that, but we try to get in the general range there. So anyway, we have soul winning today also in our afternoon. Soul winning is at 1 p.m., and so we're still going to go soul winning today, but we're not going to go to Alderbrook Apartments. So hopefully that's not in one of the maps that you put on. Okay, yeah. I've been being tortured all week by those sodomites that live there. They're putting ads in the Craigslist, and I've been getting called all week, and yeah, it's been annoying, but just annoying. It's not nothing too rough, nothing I can't handle, but apparently I'm giving away free Cybertruck and free goats at this location, and I'm getting all kinds of people messaging me and stuff. So yeah, that was the homo's revenge or whatever, but anyway, more rewards, so that's cool. I'll give them your guys' phone number next time, and I'm just going to start putting random church members' numbers on our cards. And you're like, why am I getting all this persecution? It's like, I'm just trying to share the love, you know? Just trying to get you rewards in heaven. Anyway, our praise report, you can see the salvations, baptisms. And speaking of baptisms, we're going to have a baptism this morning. Miss Rebecca is going to get baptized this morning, and we got the water getting nice and warm, so Miss Rebecca has been here since she was a little baby. How old was she when you guys first came? well, I guess not a little baby. She was a toddler. Is toddler two? Yeah, toddler's two. So she was still kind of, I still consider them babies when they're that old. So, but yeah, she's been here, you know, since she was a wee child. And so she's growing up now and she's saved and she's wanted to follow the Lord's example of baptism and show everybody that what she believes on the inside. So we're going to do that right after the service. So, and I'm also preaching kind of a special sermon this morning, and you got the charts. If you didn't get a chart this morning, Pastor Shelley's chart that he made for the Passover and the timing of the crucifixion, well, you just lift up your hand. If you can read and you can follow the chart, then you're qualified to get one. That's the only qualifications you need. But if you didn't get a chart, just lift up your hand and you want one and you can read, then please, it's not a coloring page, but yeah. And then you can follow along. I kind of designed the sermon so I could follow the chart. So if I'm not following the chart, maybe just lift up your hand and I'll try to make sure that I'm following the chart along with you. I kind of put notes in there to help me along, but I did get the chart, and I'm using the chart by permission. And Pastor Shelley did a lot of great groundwork and studied really hard to put all that stuff together. And I think he proved pretty convincingly of a Thursday death on the cross for Jesus Christ. And so I was always taught that it was Wednesday, but you know, as Baptist, you know, Wednesday is the day for most Baptist churches, and then of course Friday for the Catholics that don't read the Bible and can't count 3 days, three nights, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They just, yeah, there's not enough there for 3 days and three nights. So anyway, that's what I'm preaching about this morning, and we'll just go through the chart, and I'll try to get through it as quickly as possible. But it's a good study, and it's good. You know, he just really set some scriptures forth there that are pretty unrefutable. I spent a lot of time just kind of looking over everything and studying his chart and the scriptures according to that. So I think it'll be a blessing to you this morning. Let's see. We got, yeah, like I said, the Lord's Supper service tonight at 3:30 p.m. So please be here if you can. It's a special service. And then we're right when we're done, you know, we're done for the day. No service. So whatever I spill over in the morning service, you don't have to worry about me preaching long tonight. It'll be a short service. Next weekend, we do have it's not just all SFBC Mega Marathon. Now it's become all of Asia, and Pastor Stuckey's turning the world upside down over there, and he's doing a great work over there, and he's kind of heading up the Asian quarter of this marathon. And Asia's a big area, and there's a lot of churches involved in Asia, but we also have Texas involved too. So we got a lot of churches involved in the States now, but we're kind of just soft launching the Mega Marathon again for next year. We're going to hit it real hard. We're going to plan 3 or 4 months and try to hit every state again and we're going to make Mega Marathon great again. So, but this is just kind of like the pre-launch, but we're going to, we're probably going to meet in Gresham, that our church is, but we also have people in all of our church plants are doing something. I think that Brother Wynn up in Canada is actually going to cross into Bellevue. So if anybody wants, or not Bellevue, what's the one that's right across from there? Is it Bellevue? Bellingham, that's what it is. So I think he's thinking about going to Bellingham because it's more receptive. There's only Sikhs in Surrey now. So I think he wants to go someplace receptive. He has to go to the United States. So, but anyway, we have lots of places you can get involved in the marathon. And I'm going to publish our video probably tonight, and then there'll be a detailed list of all the places you can get involved. So if you're just wanting to travel, maybe go to Yakima. Yakima is going to be involved, but food will be supplied for any of our churches, lunch, and some of those times may vary. So just kind of go on the video, look in the description and see what times our churches are going to be doing things and where the locations are going to be at. And so yeah, just check it out, and hopefully you're involved. If you're here, you want to get involved, and you don't have to go to the whole day, but you know, that's kind of what we're doing. There'll be a call-in show on the Baptist Bias. Pastor Shelley's going to do a call-in show, so if you have any great stories of conversions or something, or you just want to share, you know, some salvation that you got, you can, he said, feel free to call into the show and talk about it. So anyway, it's going to be a great day, and to have all the people in the world, that's the vision, is to have all the people in the world going soul winning on the same day. So it's a great vision. So anyway, that's going on. Easter Sunday, of course, is the next day. We're having a potluck here at the church. I'll be bringing the Easter hams for the people that that volunteered to bring a or to cook a ham. I'll have those here Thursday night for church. So, and if you're not here on Thursday night for whatever reason, I'll just leave them in the fridge for you, and you can grab them whichever day you want. So, and there'll be Costco hams, spiral cut, or if you want something different to cook, you just let me know, okay? And then April 25th, we have the SFBC Seattle 2-year anniversary. Pastor Anderson will be preaching Friday night at 7 p.m. There will be a soul winning marathon then. They're going to be soul winning marathoned out, but Sean said there's no more soul winning marathons in Seattle allowed for the rest of the year. So, that doesn't mean there's no more soul winning, just no more marathons, okay? But then I'll be preaching up there for the Sunday services. Mother's Day is May 11th. There'll be a gift for each mother in attendance. And so please plan on attending for that if you're a mom. We have a special gift for you. And we usually buy food for the moms so they don't have to bring or cook anything or labor like that. So, and then, of course, we got the King James Conference coming up, and we're going to have to hit that hard as soon as it just seems like there's events after another in the warm months here. But we'll cover all that later. But we're family integrated. Don't forget about that. And the offerings for the month of April so far at the bottom of the page. And then we have Anthony and Candace's anniversary to sing happy anniversary. You want to go hold her hand, or are you going to just stay there and just, you know, do this? Or no, it's okay. All right. I haven't sang an anniversary song in a long time, so I'm going to have Brother Bill come up here and do it. No, he was about to do it. Did you see that? All right. Let's just sing happy anniversary. Let me cue there. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy anniversary to you. How many years has it been? 6 years. Congratulations. Amen. And many more. All right. That's all I have for announcements. Go ahead and sing another song, and then we'll receive the offering.
Next hymn is 172, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. 172.
Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies grown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. Thy loving spirit into every troubled breast. Let us all in thee inherit. Let us find that second rest. Tickle we are bent to sinning. Alpha and Omega be end of faith as its beginning, set our hearts at liberty. Come Almighty to deliver, let also thy life receive. Suddenly return and never, never more thy temples leave. Thee we would be always blessing, serve thee as thy host above. Pray and praise thee without ceasing, Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation, perfectly restored in thee. Change from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise.
Amen. At this time, we'll collect the offering. Brother Mikey, can you bless the offering?
All right, go ahead and open your Bibles to John chapter 12. John chapter number 12. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one underneath the seat in front of you. We'll be in John chapter number 12. John chapter 12, the Bible reads, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day much people that were come to the feast, when they had heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Sion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not the disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave, and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh, and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, he will my Father honor. Now this my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it, and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, An angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now this is the judgment of the world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Esaias when he saw his glory, and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Brother Eli, we pray for us.
Amen. All right, so again, the timing of the Passover and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ is really what I'm preaching about, or what day was Jesus crucified. And I kind of let the cat out of the bag that I'm kind of the persuasion that it's Thursday. Now, you can't really fit either, if you go Wednesday, you know, you have too much time. Thursday, not quite enough time to squeeze in a whole day, but it's closer. You know, there's no perfect 24-hour day, but, you know, if you arrived, say you flew to Houston and you arrived at 3 o'clock, would you say when you got to Houston and you spent, you know, say it gets dark at 6 o'clock that day, would you say, hey, I was at Houston?
Yep.
So, I mean, so it does kind of count as part of a day being in Houston. So, I mean, I guess I just kind of want to, you know, nothing's going to fit perfectly into a perfect 24, 3 days, three nights. But so before I, you know, just go off on all that, though, I just want you to take a look at the chart and see kind of some of the highlighted stuff. Because sometimes when you can look at charts, you can start being like that dog in the meme, the Vietnam meme, where it's like its eyes are going different ways and all these wars are going on. So, but this is not really that complicated of a chart. It has the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and when it starts is the 14th. Then you have the days of unleavened bread underneath it, and you can see where the arrow begins on the 15th day and how far it goes. So those are put in those position. And I do want to give obviously all credit to Pastor Shelley for making this chart and doing the hard work on this study. And, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it is kind of a good philosophy. And obviously you should prove all things. I went through this with a fine-tooth comb, and I found everything to be very sound doctrinally. Now, underneath the 7 days of unleavened bread part of the chart, you can see that there's days from the 9th to the 22nd, and it has the Holy Sabbath days or the actual holidays on there in red. It says Holy Convocation, Sabbath, Holy Convocation. Those are the days that are actual holidays in the feast days in Leviticus chapter 23 and other places in the Bible. And you can see that the days begin at night. That's what the moon and the sun are representing there. And then you have the days of the week. And so you can see how the kind of the charts kind of overflow. They begin, like you'll see how, if you just look at the 10th, how it kind of begins at Saturday. That's because it begins at Saturday at night and then spills over into Sunday. So that's just something to look at. And then we're going to bookend it from today's study, basically from John 12 to Luke 24, verse 20 through 21. And that's why I had Brother CJ read John chapter 12. So I'm going to do my best to go through this fairly quickly. And why is this important? Well, it's important. The truth is always important. And I've actually never done a study where I just completely study and then preach about this specific subject. So I just thought it would be a good one to do on Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is where Jesus comes into Jerusalem and they all put the palm branches and they say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. I'll get into that in just a second. But I just want to make sure everybody has a chart that needs one. If you don't have one yet, one will be supplied to you at little or no cost for the one-time price of $19.99. You can pay in installments. No, I'm teasing. But if you need one, just get one of the ushers. I think Brother David, no, he got one. All right, so cool. Well, let's get into this because there's a lot of scripture to go over. So hopefully you follow along with the chart and look at the first part of the chart we're going to look at, see how it says the 9th of Nisan. That is the month that they're supposed to do the Passover. The Passover is on the 14th. That's when they kill the Passover. And so Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. He died on the Passover. He died when the Passover was supposed to happen, exactly when it was, you know, that's why the whole Passover was done at the specific times, because Jesus Christ is going to fulfill that time and that sacrifice. So this is kind of the study of that. And when he died, the day of the week that he died. And again, why is it important? I mean, obviously, if someone believes it's Wednesday, I'm not throwing them out as a heretic or something. It's like, you know, whatever. But I definitely believe it didn't happen on Friday. Okay, there just isn't enough time to say there was 3 days and three nights. But anyway, let's look at John 12:1, where we're reading in the Bible. And on the chart, this is 6 days before the Passover. Look at John 12:1. It says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. So this is kind of our bookend beginning here. And so it puts us 6 days before the Passover. And so if the Passover is on the 14th, the preparation day, the day of his sacrifice is the 14th, then of course you can track that back to the 9th day, which would have been what? Saturday, right? So that's pretty easy and simple. Now we go to the 10th day of Nisan, or Nisan. It kind of looks like Nisan, but there's no S, another S in there. So, but anyway, so that's Palm Sunday. That would put us where we are at today. It would be Palm Sunday. So let's look at some verses here. Palm Sunday. Look at Matthew. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 21. While you're turning there, I'm going to read from the prophecy in the Old Testament from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. The prophecy in Zechariah 9, 9 says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. So you should be on the 10th day, which is Sunday, which is Palm Sunday, which happens to be today, by the way. And the scripture references are underneath where it says, Hosanna in the highest. Matthew chapter 21, verse 9, but I'm going to start reading at verse 1. It says, and when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, they were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives. Then sent Jesus 2 disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So this is Palm Sunday, the next day. So we have that as the 10th of Nisan, or Nisan, however you want to say it. And then there's other scripture references to it. This is actually recorded in all 4 Gospels. And, of course, you have the notes right there on the chart. If you want to keep that, you should probably keep this chart. It's a good chart. It'd be nice to get this blown up into a poster and hang it on the wall someplace. But you have the scripture references in Mark 11:9, Luke 9, 19:38, and John chapter 12, verse 13. So let's move on to the 11th, which would have been Monday. And of course, these days spill over into each other because of the night day. But so we're going to look at days 11 through 13 now. But Jesus teaches in the temple in these days leading up. And so during these days, he taught in the temple. He also confronted the Pharisees and all the other Sadducees and the lawyers. He shared parables. But the significance is that Jesus continues to fulfill his role as the teacher and the prophet. But he also, go ahead and turn to Mark 11. So for the Monday, to keep with the sequence of days so that we know, because what we're trying to do here is track the days also and show scripturally what days, how the days follow, and that you can actually track what day is what. So, as you're turning to Mark 11, I'm just going to read for you in Luke 19:47 and 48 says, and he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him and could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. See, they hadn't turned on him yet, but And on Palm Sunday, when he came in, everybody loved him and wanted and received him as the king, and even said that he was the son of David. But as we know, that turned really quickly to where they all wanted him to be crucified. But so the 11th of Nisan, which is on your chart there, Monday, Jesus curses the fig tree. But notice what it says in verse 12. It says, "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry." So remember, he was in Bethany in John chapter 12, verse 1. And then it says, on the morrow, so that was 6 days out. And it says, on the morrow, they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came by it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." And his disciples heard it. So obviously the significance of this is that he's talking about this being Israel, and saying, you know, that Israel is basically cursed. And he's taking away their ability to bring forth fruit after this. And this is the significance of him cursing this fig tree. Israel, the nation, is no longer going to be bringing forth fruit. He's going to bring forth fruit from a nation that's a spiritual nation, which is the spiritual Israel, which is us, right? The church and spirit-filled believers. So, but I put this is in here so that you could track that it's on the morrow when they were come from Bethany. All right, so we're on Monday. So now, let's see, let's move to Tuesday, which is the 12th of Nisan, and that's Mark 11. You're already in Mark 11, so that makes it easy for you. Look at verse 20. The Bible says, "And in the morning," so obviously this is, what, the next day, right? "As they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots." So the same tree that he cursed the day before, the tree that he cursed is toast. It's dried up from the roots. "And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursedest is withered away." So just the significance of this is it's just telling us it's the next day. So we know that this is the 12th. This is Tuesday in that same week. Matthew 26, verse 1. Go ahead and turn to Mark. You're in Mark already, so turn to Mark 14, 1. And I'm going to read. Actually, no, go to Matthew chapter 26. I want you to see this. Matthew 26, 1. We'll go to Mark here in just a second. But Matthew 26, 1 says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover." So this also helps us. He said, and he says that the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. So he said, "You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover." So what day is this right here? Tuesday, right? We're on Tuesday still, the 12th. What day is 2 days after this? It's Thursday, right? So, I mean, we should be able to just shut the Bibles and go home and say, yep, you proved your point. It is Thursday, right? So, but that'll be proved multiple times. But I just think that that's a good verse for you to see. That, you know, you can count on your fingers, even if you're not very good at math, you can go, today's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, right? So it's pretty simple. Now turn to Matthew chapter 14, verse 1. Matthew chapter 14, verse 1. We'll be able to do that, I think, again, especially at the end of the sermon, if you know how to count backwards. Usually people can't count. You know, the cops will sobriety test people and they'll say, hey, count from 100 backwards. I don't think I could do that sober, but you know what I'm saying? But like, you know, you can probably count 99, 98, 97, right? That's pretty simple to do. But anyway, Mark 14, 1 says, after 2 days, so it's saying the same thing, basically, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. So it's also giving us the fact that it's also the day of unleavened bread. "And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people." So did he die on? They're trying to avoid killing him on the actual feast day, which would be the Holy Convocation Day, which would be when they actually sit down and eat the Passover that at the night that they eat the Passover, which would be the 15th, right? So now let's go to the 13th, which would be Wednesday. So the 13th is Wednesday, the first of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It's the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And you can see that top green line, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Passover, that actually starts on the 14th, but it's, you know, that you can see at the end, it kind of tails in right there. But let's look at Matthew 20. Are you in Matthew 26 already? Well, Matthew 26, 17. Turn there. I think I had you turn to Mark. So Matthew 26, verse 17. I should have just had you keep your finger in Mark because I'm going to have to go back. We're going to do this a lot, so I'm sorry. I didn't have all the little Pastor Jimenez cues where I have you hold your finger and, you know, do all that stuff. But I'm sorry about that. But I was on crunch time trying to get this all put together. Let's see. Matthew 26, verse 17 says, "Now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" So, what day is it? It's the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So, it's telling us what day it is. Now, let's go back to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, verse 12. I'm sorry about that. But it's good for you. This is how you learn how to navigate your Bible, especially if you're new to doing that. That's how I learned how to navigate my Bible. It's just flipping to verses in church. So, that's why it's important to have preaching where someone's having you flip in your Bible, because if someone's only just preaching one verse and then they're just talking the whole time, then it's like, well, how are you learning your Bible that way? You know? So, and there are people that preach like that, but I don't recommend it. So Mark 14:12 says, "And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, Where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover?" So we're given some extra information in Mark 14:12. So we already know that it's the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It tells us that again in Mark 14:12. And it also says when they killed the Passover. So this is the same day that they killed the Passover. And so now turn to Luke chapter 22, verse 7. Luke chapter 22, verse 7. This is also recorded for us in all four Gospels, so that we'll know that this is the day that they killed the Passover. It's the first day of unleavened bread. It says in Luke 22, verse 7, it says, "Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed." So must be, it means has to be. It's kind of like a bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife. So this is something that's non-negotiable. They have to kill the Passover on this specific day. But what's interesting is that, you know, they're preparing for all this stuff. This is like the preparation day that they're doing all this stuff. But you got to remember that, you know, the day starts at night, and then they, you know. So when Jesus, you know, when they actually eat the Lord's Supper that night, that he goes and he's awake all that night. He's kept awake, he's beaten, he's mocked, he's spit on and all that stuff. And he's taken early in the morning. We'll get to that. But then he's also nailed to the cross. He's nailed to the cross at 9 o'clock in the morning. And he hangs on that cross until 3 o'clock. So he's hanging on the cross for 6 hours. And when he dies, it's still within that same day. But to us, that's just weird because we don't keep track of time like that. At midnight to us, it's like then it becomes the morning. And in John, it does keep time like that. It keeps time. We kind of keep Roman time in our daily lives. But to them, 6 a.m., you know, was obviously still, it was, they just kept time differently. But we keep time different. And so you'll see in the Gospel of John specifically, it keeps time like we keep time. Right. But in the other Gospels, it keeps time differently. So anyway, moving on here. Let's see. Let's look at John 13, 1. John 13, 1. So what day we're on? We're still on Wednesday, the 13th day of Nisan. We're on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They're preparing, each verse we've seen so far, they're preparing, and it's the day that they're supposed to kill the Passover. And it says, in John 13:1, it says, now before the Feast of the Passover. So is it before the feast? Yes, it is. It says, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Amen. And supper being ended, the devil having now put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. So notice this also. This is really interesting. So it's before the Passover happens. It's before the feast. The actual Holy Convocation Day, they've already done the Lord's Supper. You see that?
Yep.
They've already done it. But Jesus says to his disciples that he's eating the Passover with them. And that's, to me, that was very confusing. Like when you read all this, it's like he's desired to have this Passover with them. But yet he's not doing it at the time of the Passover. But it's like, duh, he is the Passover. So it's kind of hard to eat the Passover with them when he's the Passover and has to die at that exact time. So, and he's the Lord, and he institutes, it says after the supper ended. So the supper is, you know, they have that Passover meal together, and then he institutes the Lord's Supper, and that's the continuation of the Passover in the New Testament. That's what we believe. But I just wanted you to note that. That's a very, you know, if people think that it's the same day as the Passover feast, it's not the same day, because it changes over. When Jesus dies at 6 o'clock that night or so is when the actual feast begins. So he dies at the right time in the right place when the Bible says he's supposed to, and then the feast begins that night on the 15th, right? It turns into the 15th at 6 o'clock. So anyway, let's move on to the 14th. So this is is it the 14th? No. Well, it turns into the 14th, basically, at night. So, let's see. On the evening of the 14th, Jesus shares the Passover with his disciples, instituting the Lord's Supper. So, of course, we're going to do that tonight. So, turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Of course, he's establishing the new covenant with his body and blood by doing this. And in the scripture in Luke 22:19, you don't have to turn there, I'm just going to read it. It says, and he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new testament in my blood which is shed for you. So you're in Matthew 26, verse 20. It says, and when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. So when did he sit down with the 12? He sat down at even. So, and then Mark 14 again. We keep going back to Mark 14. I'm torturing you here. Mark 14, verse 16 says, and his disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And in the evening he cometh with the 12. So, sorry, I didn't give you a chance to turn there. Let me read it again for you. Mark 14:16, it says, and his disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover, and in the evening he cometh with the 12. So when did he come? In the evening, right? That's kind of what I'm trying to highlight to you here, is that at the Last Supper they came in the evening to eat the Passover, right? So, and then Luke 22, verse 14, Luke chapter 22, verse 14, and this is where he actually says what I just kind of quoted a few minutes ago here. It says, and when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. So he suffers at the exact time, like I said, of the Passover. So he can't eat the Passover at the same time as he's dying. So he does do it before the actual time that it's supposed to happen, but it's still on the same day. So
It's not like he's breaking some law by doing that, because I kind of always just thought, like, well, how can he do it when it's not the right time? He's kind of making the disciples do it at a time when they're not supposed to, but it's still the same day. So he's not really breaking, and he's God. So it's just like he can, you know, he can do things on the Sabbath that, you know, the Pharisees were always freaking out because he did stuff on the Sabbath. He's like, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. Like, what are you talking about? So now that rolls into Thursday, obviously, and he's betrayed by Judas, and Judas obviously goes out after the supper. He's possessed by Satan. He betrays him. And then when they go to the garden, Jesus prays, and then right after that, Judas comes and betrays him. So turn to Matthew chapter 27. We're going to be on the 14th here, which is still the preparation day. So they're still preparing. They can do a bunch of stuff, but they can't, you know, it's not a Sabbath day. So when they take Jesus and take him before Pilate and all that stuff, they couldn't do that if it was the actual Sabbath day. If it was the actual holiday, they could not do the things that they did. And you can see throughout the Bible that they would always do stuff so that they, you know, even taking him off the cross before that holiday happened, you know, before the Passover actually happened, they had to take him off the cross before that because it was a high Sabbath day. And that's, and so all the stuff that they did before, that's why they said, we don't want to do it on the actual feast day, because that would defile them. But murdering an innocent man doesn't defile them. You know, that's A-okay. Selling someone for 30 pieces of silver, betraying him, that's just fine, as long as you don't do it on Sabbath day, you know, the high Sabbath day or whatever. So anyway, Matthew 27, verse 1, the way these people think is crazy. But when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. So this is Thursday, and let's see, we're at that they might eat the Passover. Matthew 27, verse 1, Mark 15, 1, John 18, 28. So Mark 15, 1. So this is basically after they've arrested him, they've done the trial. I had to skip all that stuff just for sake of time, but we're trying to keep the timeline here. Okay, I'm trying to help you with the timeline. So Mark 15, 1 says, and straight away in the morning. So straight away means first thing in the morning, right? So Matthew 27, 1 said, when the morning was come, they took counsel to put him to death. Mark 15, 1 says, and straight away in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. So this is straight away, first thing in the morning. John 18, 28. Turn over to John 18, 28. It says, I'll give you a second to turn there. Take a sip of water. It says in John 18, 28, then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. So they didn't want to be defiled by going into the judgment hall, but they wanted to still eat the Passover. And it's funny, they're handing the Passover, the actual Passover, to be killed. You know, the irony is crazy here. So now we're going to go through, so there's a little box on Thursday, right in the middle of Thursday, it says death, Passover, sacrifice, and it kind of has that little box off to the bottom there. And it has 13th, 14th, 15th. And there's the little timeline. It kind of has some little branches off of there. So Thursday, if you look at Thursday, it has 6 a.m., 9 a.m., 12 p.m., 3 to 4 p.m., and then 4 to 6 p.m. Those are approximate times of death and the burial in the tomb. But we're going to go through that, that little box there. So 6 a.m. So remember, it says it's early. All those three verses said, when the morning was come, straight away in the morning, and it was early. So they do the mock trial. Jesus is up all night. They're beating him. They're spitting on him. They bring the witnesses against him. Then they turn him over because they can't put him to death because they're controlled by the Romans. The Romans are the only ones that can condemn him to death. And so they try to hand him over to Pilate so that he can condemn him. And they basically just kind of push the Romans to kill him. So they hand him over to Pilate, and then Pilate sends him to Herod. Herod sends him back, and then Pilate finally just gives in to them. So now let's look at John chapter 19, verse 14. John chapter 19, verse 14, and we can get the timeline right here and the time of day it was. So why do we know it's at 6 a.m.? Why do we know it's at 6 a.m. that that this begins? Okay, well, look what it says. It says, and it was the preparation of the Passover. So is it the Passover or the preparation of the Passover? It's the preparation of the Passover in about the sixth hour. So if it's the sixth hour, wouldn't that be 12 o'clock? No. 12 o'clock is, because remember in John, it keeps track of time differently. So it keeps track from midnight. So midnight to, so 6 hours from midnight is what? 6 a.m. And it says, and he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him, therefore, unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. So there we have the timetable. It's 6 a.m. It's on Thursday. It's still on the 14th day. What were they supposed to do on the 14th day? According to Exodus chapter 12, they were supposed to kill the Passover, weren't they? So, and we followed the timeline so far up to this, the days of the week. Hopefully that was clearly made. Now, 9 o'clock. Let's look at the 9 o'clock timeline on Thursday. Look at Mark chapter 15, verse 25. Mark chapter 15, verse 25. Now, Mark, again, keeps time differently. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke are going to keep time from a 6 a.m. is the start of the day timeline. And it's going to give us what time of day it was when Jesus is crucified. It says, Mark 15, 25, it says, and it was the third hour, and they crucified him. So what time is that from 6 a.m.? It's 9 a.m., okay? So at 9 a.m., they crucify Jesus. So they first they turn him over to Pilate at 6 a.m., and the back and forth from Herod and all the, you know, the talk, and, you know, I wash my hands of them, and they beat him, and they, you know, they whip him and all that stuff. And he says, behold your king. And then they crucify him finally at the third hour. And so that's what's happening here. And then he's crucified, 9 o'clock. Now let's go to verse 33. So between 12 and 3 p.m., there's darkness over the land. That's what it says in verse 33. It says, and when the sixth hour was come. So we know that that's what time? Noon, right? So he's hanging on the cross for 3 hours at this point. Hasn't had anything to eat or drink. He's probably super dehydrated, in severe pain. They call it excruciating pain when you're in a lot of pain, right? You know why they call it that? Because of crucifixion. That's where that root word comes from, because crucifixion was one of the most terrible ways to be killed. Nails through your hands and feet, and you're put into a position where you have to kind of lift yourself up to try to breathe. It was a horrific way to be killed. And it says there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. So that means that from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m., he's already been hanging on the cross for 3 hours. They're mocking, they're laughing at him. They're saying, hey, if he really is the Son of God, come, tell him to come down. They're reviling him. They're casting those wicked things into his teeth, as the Bible says. They're talking mad smack about him. They're reviling him. He's hanging there, basically naked, in front of God and everybody. And so then you have the darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. So he's hanging on the cross for a full 6 hours. A full 6 hours. And he died before the thieves The thieves had to have their legs broken because they didn't go through the torture that Jesus went through that whole night. I mean, he's probably up early that morning before the sun came up, as was his custom, and then goes through that whole day, does the Lord's Supper with his disciples, prays in the garden, is betrayed by Judas, stays up all night that night and all day on the cross. I mean, that's a rough day. Anybody know? I mean, and then you can't, how can you sleep on a cross? You're not sleeping. I mean, when you're in excruciating pain, you're not sleeping. So let's look at Mark 15, verse 34. I'm not having you turn. Okay, we're right here. All right, so, and at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And Jesus truly was forsaken, and probably for the first time, most likely and positively probably for the first time, ever been separated from God the Father in his whole life. And God had to turn himself away from him, and that's why he said he's been forsaken, because the sins of the whole world were placed upon him. Darkness, the wrath of God is focused upon him because he became sin for us on the cross and paid that great price for all of us, all of our sins, past, present, and future. Everybody in this room, and we have a lot of sin just in this room alone, I'm sure, but think about the sins of the world from Adam and Eve all the way to the end, and every single human being on the face of the earth that's ever lived and ever will live. I mean, there's billions of people on the planet right now. That's a lot of sin. It's a lot of wickedness. And every serial killer, child molester, rapist, murderer on the whole face of the planet that's ever lived and ever will live, every wicked person that died and went to hell in the Bible, then there's some pretty wicked people in there. I mean, even in just including the Antichrist and Judas's sins were put upon him too, if you think about that. It's a lot. And so, of course, God had to turn his face away from him. But it says, "And some of them stood by when they heard it and said, Behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar." What a dirty trick. Vinegar looks like water. If you look, I mean, have you ever like seen a cup of, hopefully you never grab a cup. Don't ever, what it is, by the way. It could be bleach. It could be, you know, sometimes stuff looks like it's things it's not, you know, like Kool-Aid or something. It's like, you know, something else. Anyway, just don't drink stuff if you don't know what it is. But Jesus, he's thirsty, and he's calling for something to drink, and they take a sponge full of vinegar, which doesn't taste good when you're thirsty, and put it on a reed and gave it him to drink, saying, "Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come and take him down." And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. So when it says he gave up the ghost, that means he died. So Jesus died right then and there. And it says, "And when the centurion stood over against him, saw that he so cried out, he gave up the ghost and said, Truly, this man was the Son of God." Now notice it doesn't say that he saw the temple rend in twain. Ah! All right, somebody kill this thing. Yeah, I ain't touching it. How'd that thing get in here? Die. That's what you guys were looking at. I was like, why are they so distracted? I just don't want you guys to have to deal with the wrath of the bee once I swat at him. Yeah, bring that up, Gabe. Gotta have some drama in this sermon. Kill it, Bill. Oh, no. Ah! Well, this will be a memorable one. There we go. Did you get him? Beelzebub. Thank you, Brother Bill. Well, now you know what I fear the most, okay? Perfect timing. All right. I'd rather take the whips than that bee coming after me. All right, so where were we? So he so cried out. Okay, yeah, so the centurion did not see the veil rend. It's just he saw the things and saw how Jesus cried and gave up the ghost, and then he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. So Jesus died, and this is the time when they would kill the Passover. And it says the ninth hour. It says at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out. And so it was probably really close. It doesn't say it says at the ninth hour he cried out. So it didn't take much longer than that. And so it's probably really close to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's when it's the even, not at night, but at the even. So, and then Thursday, we're still on Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. is kind of just, these are like kind of just guesses in time, I guess. But the burial, look at Luke 23, verse 50. Luke 23, verse 50. So we're still on the preparation day. It has not changed to the Holy Convocation, which is the actual feast day. Because how could they kill, prepare the lamb, prepare all the tables, prepare the feast? Because it's like, you know, they kill that Passover lamb, but everybody else in the city is killing a Passover lamb that day too, and dressing them and setting up tables. Just like the disciples set up their tables and prepared for the Passover with Jesus, that 14th day was a preparation day, and then at the end of the day, they killed the Passover. It says the day came when they had to kill the Passover. So they killed that Passover, and then Jesus had to die at the exact times. So look at verse, and then, so he's dead at 3 o'clock is what it says. So he hung on the cross for 6 hours, and then Luke 23:50 says, and behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and just. The same had not consented to the council and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in the sepulcher that was hewn in stone, where never a man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath. Drew on. Okay. So it explicitly tells us here, this is important. Obviously, the whole thing is important, but the reason I want to highlight this, though, is it says that day was the preparation and the Sabbath drew on. So are we on the high holy day? This Sabbath is not talking about the Saturday Sabbath. This is talking about the actual holiday, which would have been what? Yeah. So it's not the actual, this is the preparation day. So when did Jesus die? He died on the preparation day. He didn't die on the 15th, which is what it'll roll into that evening. So now Jesus was crucified. He died. He was buried in the tomb on the preparation day before it got dark, before it turned into that next day. So he is in the tomb before the day ends. So that's a partial part of a day. And they did bury him with haste. They did clean up the body. I'm sure it did take a little bit of time, but the Bible also does explain, we don't have time to go there, but it does explain that they did it quickly because the Sabbath was coming. And they could not have him hanging there. They didn't break his legs because the Bible says not a bone would be broken. That fulfilled a prophecy. But he was also put in a tomb that never a body had been. That would defile him waking up, obviously, from, you know, there was, I think that part's important too, which I'll probably explain that next week. But yeah, he was put in there when there was still part of that day left over. Okay, I just want to add that. But now let's look at the days in the tomb. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. So if you go up from the box that we were just at, straight up ahead, there's 3 days and 3 nights in between Thursday and Sunday morning. Now, again, you're not going to get 24 perfect hours. Does the Bible say it has to be 24 perfect hours? No. But this is where you're going to find the best fit, okay? And not only that, it doesn't really matter what fits 24 hours. Does it say we have to find out whether 24 hours fits in a perfect day? No, what the Bible actually says, you know, we just have to go by what the Bible says when he died and when he came back. And that's just what you have to deal with. You know, it tells us we've gone through all these verses and it tells us when he died, what day he died, what was it, the preparation day or not? Yes, it was. So it just tells us when, and we can count with the math what day it was. So it's just kind of, it is what it is kind of thing. So Matthew chapter 12, verse 40 says, "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." The Pharisees are asking him, show us a sign. Like he hasn't already showed them all these miracles and healed all these people. I mean, they're kicking the blind man out of the synagogue because he was healed from blindness. They saw Lazarus come forth from the dead. That's not a good enough miracle. Then they were going to kill Lazarus because he was raised from the dead and they didn't want people to see him alive. But then they're like, do another magic trick, Jesus. You know, jump through this hoop, Jesus. And he's like, the only sign I'm going to show you is the sign of Jonas the prophet. And he says this right here. As he was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So now, if you didn't realize this, a stone grave where you can just walk in and place somebody in it is not the heart of the earth. Okay? A lot of people will like downplay Jesus going to hell for 3 days and three nights, which is what we believe. His soul went to hell for 3 days and three nights because in Acts chapter 2, in two different verses, it says his soul was not left in hell. Last time I checked, a stone grave is not hell. Right. And people are like, well, it just means the grave. Okay, I guess the King James translators were idiots. All 54 of them. They could speak all these different languages. Lancelot Andrews being able to speak 21 different languages. He just didn't know the difference between the grave and hell. But you do. Anyway, some lesbian on the NIV committee knows better than they do. Anyway, I'm not preaching about that, but look at Matthew 28:1. So Jesus said he will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, and we believe at this church that he did go to hell for 3 days and three nights. And we don't believe in a hell atonement like we've been accused of, but the whole gospel is the atonement. So, and I don't have time to get into that either, but Jesus, the resurrection is part of the atonement. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then we're all doomed. Amen. And that's not true. And you might as well just live your life however you want and party on, Wayne. You know? Yeah. At least somebody knows what I'm talking about. Like, party on, Wayne? What are you talking about? Anyway, okay. So Matthew 28:1 says, "And in the end of the Sabbath," so this is talking about the actual Sabbath because you have the high holy day, Friday, then you have the actual Sabbath day, which would have been Saturday. It says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week," what's the first day of the week? Sunday, right? "Came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher." Mark chapter 16, verse 1. If you can get there quick, get there. If not, just listen. "And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun." So they're already there at the rising of the sun, and Jesus has already risen from the dead. So this is Sunday the 17th, past those two high Sabbath, or past those two Sabbath days. Now, Luke 24:1 also says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others were with them." In Matthew 28:6, it says, "He is not here, for he is risen. He said, come and see the place where the Lord lay." Matthew 28, verse 6. So, of course, the resurrection is one of the foundational doctrines of the Christian faith. And the promise of eternal life, because Jesus eternally lives, so that we may also live forever. So at this church, we also believe that once you get saved, it's everlasting life. Jesus rose from the dead. He has everlasting life. He can never die again. That body will never die. And it's the same with us. Now, we live this life in the flesh, but we have a spiritual, we have the Holy Spirit, and we have the new man, which our spirit is made alive in Christ if we're saved. But we will get a body like Jesus. He is the first fruits of the resurrection. He's the only one with a glorified body. That's what the first fruits represents in the Bible. Paul says that he is the first fruits, and he fulfills that scripture also, which I'll talk about next week. But let's bookend this and be finished here. Look at Luke chapter 24, verse 20. Luke chapter 24, verse 20. So, on the road to Emmaus, he talks to these men and gives them a bunch of scriptures, and he reveals himself to them. But before this happens, he kind of just is playing coy a little bit, and he's like, "Hey, what are you guys talking about?" You know, and they're like acting like, "You don't know what's going on here. Like, this thing wasn't done in a corner. You know, all this stuff is." You know, you don't know that Jesus got killed, the prophet. But this kind of bookends like the whole study, though. It says in Luke 24, 20, it says, "And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him." And here's our last math that's real easy to do. It says, "But we trusted that it had been he which have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done." What day is it? Sunday. Saturday. Friday. Thursday. 3 days, right? So we've already done the math forward. And, you know, we've looked at all the days. We've looked at all the passages. I think the chart's great. It helps really solidify everything. Pastor Shelley did a great job doing all this and made it real easy for me to just, you know, copy and paste some verses in here. I put some of my own verses in here too, but I mean, you know, this Sunday here is that first day of the week in the scripture here that he rose from the dead. So it's pretty easy to minus it off. It's pretty easy to figure out that it's Thursday. It really, once you go through all these scriptures, it's not too hard to come to that conclusion. I don't know how you come to a Wednesday conclusion in light of all these scriptures. Now, again, of course, I wouldn't have a bad attitude for somebody that believes something different. But the Catholic Friday just does not work. And I don't know who else believes you know, a lot of people call this coming Friday Good Friday. Well, it's not. But this really is Palm Sunday. I mean, but we don't like, I don't know. We don't get weird with it. But, I mean, we're not laying branches out or anything like that. But if he was coming, I would. I mean, it's, you know, anyway, so hopefully you got something good out of this, and it's very clear to you. I mean, I think it's super clear, but it's a blessing. Thank you, Pastor Shelley, for putting all that together. We appreciate it, and hopefully you learned something today. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the clear scriptures, and we thank you for coming and dying for us on the cross. And Lord, we just today want to appreciate the great price that you paid for us, and the mocking and the cruel things that were done to you, the fact that you had to die for all of us sinners. And Lord, we just want to say that we appreciate it today, and we're thankful for the life that you give us, everlasting life, that you paved the way for us. You're the chief cornerstone which our faith rests. And Lord, we just want to humbly thank you today. And we ask you that you would just be with us in our second service today. Lord, that you'd help us. If there's anything that we need to focus on before the service, pray that you just help us and bring it to our remembrance, that we might ask for forgiveness, Lord, and that you would just help us to have a sweet fellowship tonight, and that we'd have some unity with our church tonight. And we ask you to bless us as we go our separate ways, and as we go soul winning today, that we bring forth much fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to have a baptism, but first we're going to sing a song.
So the Nephilim ancestry of Pastor Thompson is confirmed, because God sent the hornets before the Israelites to drive them out. All right, last hymn is 25. 25, Wounded for Me. All together.
cross was wounded for me, dying for me, dying for me. There on the cross he was dying for me. Now in his death my redemption I see. Because Jesus was dying for me, risen for me, risen for me. Up from the grave he's risen for me. Now evermore from death's sting I am free. Because Jesus has risen for me, living for me, living for me. Up in the skies he is living for me. Daily he's pleading and praying for me. Because Jesus is living for me, coming for me, coming for me. One day to earth he is coming for me. Daily he's pleading and praying for me. Him, he's coming for me.
Amen. One more? All right. I'll pick a favorite. Not from the crowd. Nothing against you guys. All right. What, 102, He Hideth My Soul? All right, on the first.
Well, wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. Oh, wonderful Savior. My soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, the shadows of dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.
Amen. At this time, we'll have the baptism.